Welcome to episode 62 of Nintendo Podcast System with myself, Jack, of course. You know, you listen to me every week, whatever, weekend, every fortnight, whenever I can be bothered to do a podcast. So, and I'm here with Patrick, who is from lots of things, mainly I'm a good friend from Southampton Game Fest or Hampshire Gaming Hub. We run lots of events together and many other things. Patrick's got a background in gaming journalism and other things as well. I'm sure he'll be able to tell a bit more kind of thing. So.
Sure. So I work with Pixelenemy, VG Charts I work for currently. I used to work for Gamer Review. I've batted around a few places. Kind of our first few websites got a few hundred views every month, and now we're on a few million. So I've worked with different YouTubers and several video game websites, basically.
Wow, that's quite a lot. That's a few millions, a few more than we get. So I think in total, I think the whole podcast and YouTube's hit like 4,000 views now, which is still pretty good. Yeah, I'm quite happy with it. So, yeah. So this is a bit of a strange episode because we actually recorded it in a pub. Which the last time I did this with Matthew went very strangely because we basically just sat down in a random pub and there's still music going everywhere and stuff. And it kind of worked. But
okay, reassuring.
But we've got a bit more of a nice pool room we're in at the moment, and it seems we were quite quiet, so we've got nice talk of time to have a bit of a chat. So I think we should just move into the next section and go from there.
Go for it.
So this is the what we've been playing section, as we have in every episode. Patrick, what games have you been playing so this month, shall we say? Or?
So I did a preview of Xenocrisis recently,
yep.
Which I know you're going to be talking about quite soon, I believe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Cool. If not, you can read my preview okay. When that goes up on VG Charts. But mostly, I've been playing Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol, man. Yeah, I did see you put that up on Facebook actually, I think, as well, and everyone was giving you lots of issues with that. I think,
so to be fair, I've let my older son, who's only four, play it, called Corin, and he super enjoyed it. It's simple enough that he can work for it, but also got the bits where it kind of makes you work a little bit harder. You know, he's still getting like the gold levels on it, so.
Yeah,
but you know, so he seems to really enjoy it, which was surprising.
Does he play quite a lot of games now, Corin? Is he the same sort of?
Yeah, he plays an awful lot of Mario Odyssey. Like he's got some ridiculous amount of moons on it. He's done all the kind of worlds on it. He's found a lot of the secret moons.
Does he do that a lot of that on his own, or do you sort of help him out with lots of things on there? Or?
It's a bit hit and miss. He likes to experiment with it, so he finds the hidden ones easier than so like the dragon boss he struggled with, and right. I just did it for him basically.
Yeah.
But the kind of exploration stuff he seems to click with quite well. I don't know how universal that is, but with Paw Patrol is kind of quite linear, so it's. I mean, I was a bit surprised because the price tag's quite high for what it is.
Just because they've got that label on, I think the Paw Patrol is quite a popular sort of kids. Kids series on TV in the UK, so I don't know whether it's in America as well. I don't know.
I have no idea.
We'll have to look into that.
In general, Paw Patrol is about like a group of dogs that have different equipment that help.
It sounds people. Amazing already because you mentioned dogs. So
no, we've got like a police dog and a recycling dog and that kind of stuff. Policing stuff.
Cool. So the game, how is it in your opinion? Do you think it's good for kids or?
Kid-wise, very good. If you play anything else,
then no.
He's literally like left and right, and I think like A to jump, and you can double jump.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. You get up to places, and you press one of three buttons to either call for help from a different dog, or you know they've each got their own little special abilities, but they all basically do the same thing. The other notable thing is that there was only one voice actor in the whole game.
Every dog sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, that's it. So in the series, all the dogs talk. In this, only one person talks, which is the human guy called Ryder.
Oh, okay. Is there any games you've been playing yourself? Other than children's games, of course.
So I downloaded the Onimusha remaster.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's surprised me with just how like much work they've put into it, because I didn't see much kind of advertisement for it.
Okay.
I think Capcom have been focused elsewhere basically with that advertising, but they should really have been pushing on Reacher because it's a really, really nicely done remaster.
Excellent. Good to hear. Cool. So any Nintendo games you've been playing at all?
That's a good point.
We are a Nintendo podcast. It doesn't matter, because we do talk about other games and things as well.
I'm trying to think.
Matt's quite a big PS4 player, so he does mention Danganronpa literally every episode. So, yeah, I don't know why, but yeah, he seems to like that game quite a lot.
Okay. I mean, it's been seeing me through... My Switch has been seeing me through a lot of the... So I started uni recently, and there are some big gaps in my timetable. So I've been spending a lot of time sat in a corner playing Pokemon Let's Go.
Pokemon Let's Go, yeah. Oh, you actually did get it in the end. Yeah. I know you were sort of, I'm in an hour and we're going to get it before Christmas. Kind of
thing, yeah, so. I've not played it much, actually. I got frustrated with it because I played Yellow when it came out years ago. And I couldn't work out how to get to the first gym on it. So I went in.
Okay.
I knew that there was a guy saying, the gym leader's not here. So I spent ages running around looking for him.
Yeah.
And from what I can understand, I was actually just going to the wrong gym and I'd wandered somewhere too early.
You went the completely wrong way.
Yeah. So I realised that. So I kind of stopped playing it because I got grumpy with it. And it wasn't until I was talking to someone at the game dev meet. So in Southampton, we have a game dev meet every month or so.
Yes, yeah. I've been involved with that every now and then, and it's been very interesting.
But I was chatting to a guy there who also played it, and I complained that I couldn't find Brock. He was like, no, you just have to walk into it. He was like, just try again. And I don't really know what I did. I think I must have misread it when I did it. So I'll be playing that again.
Cool. So you've played that. So any other sort of games you've played on the Switch over the last year? You said that Pokemon Let's Go. I mean, I'm in the same sort of space with that because I picked it up just before Christmas. And I played quite a bit of it, up to like sort of Lavender Town sort of area kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I got to there and I got sort of kind of bored with it kind of in a way. So I got a bit too samey after a while. I think it's like most of the Pokemon games do for me in opinion. When you get to a certain point, it's like, I've done this for the last hour or two, and now it seems to be the same sort of thing repeating. Kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's a strange thing because I find that a lot kind of happens a lot more now, where I never used to notice that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just how brains
being
work
as you get older.
Yeah, you get grumpier.
Yeah,
I
say.
But I mean, they've clearly put a lot of effort into rejigging it to. So in fact, actually, because I started uni, I did my whole assignment on Pokemon advertising.
Okay.
And specifically how they're trying to reach a different audience.
Hmm.
So what they've done is this whole inclusion thing about how you can play together in different ways.
Yes.
So I think that's quite good.
I think they've pushed that really well. It's just the fact that you can play as an adult on your own, things like that, or the kids can play on their own, but you can also play together as well just by having the second Joy-Con as the second player on there. And two Pokemon against one kind of thing is a little bit overpowered, but it kind of you can understand why in that sort of situation why you can do it.
So. And so it's a good point, because like my kids, so I've got a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and one thing we were doing over the Christmas period when they were on holiday from school, we were like, I was kind of telling them which way to go, and they were just walking through the long grass, playing it together, and it was nice.
That's nice to see that.
Yeah, exactly. And they could both, even the 3-year-old could kind of get what he was doing, and you know, he wasn't great at it, but he was getting the gist, so it was good.
Whereas the younger boy could just do whatever he wants as a second player and run around and not really notice what's going on.
So because the catching system's so, you know, to catch them was really simple and easy to pick up and do, you know, they both really understood that concept. Mm. The battling, they understood less, but, you know.
It's a good one to mention at the moment, because Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe has just come out on the Switch, and they've got a extra character they've added to this version, which has Nabbit, the rabbit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Nabbit in this game basically is invincible.
Okay.
So if you're playing with, like, younger children and things, you can basically have them have the Nabbit characters. They can walk through all the enemies and take no damage.
Oh, okay.
But if they fall through bits and things, they still die. But your life count is sort of shared. So the last few games Nintendo put out, they've done well to have it as a family sort of game.
So even with, like, Mario Run, there was, like, an assist mode on that. And there was on Odyssey as well.
Yeah.
But I think with Corrin... that was kind of his first game was Mario Run.
Yeah.
The first one they kind of played by himself. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of obviously monitored the screen time and stuff. Mm. But yeah, Nintendo have done very well recently to be able to reach a mixed audience. Because, like, you know, I can pick up Mario Run and enjoy it. Sounds like I feel as though I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But also, so can he.
Yeah, which absolutely. Helps, you know. That's cool. Are there any more games you want to mention or you're going on?
Super Smash Bros. I played.
Yes.
That was good.
Okay.
I totally forgot about that. Getting frustrated because my internet's so poor that I disconnect from matches.
Online's been the struggle for a lot of people, to be fair. It's had people have full games for a good few hours and then all of a sudden just every game's cutting out. For
kind of really?
It seems to be happening quite often. But I don't know if there's been some patches to improve that or something's not quite right there at the moment. But, the online mode's been a little bit strange because it's like you don't really choose what sort of mode you're doing, kind of thing. You can't choose to do one versus one battles. You've got to just get put in randomly, kind of thing.
It's an interesting thing. Like, I'm not like a pro player, so I don't really mind. But I can see how, like, I mean, even in, you know, Facebook groups and stuff, you can see people getting quite irate with, because I know there's...
With the traditional sort of tournaments for Smash Bros. Would be no items, Battlefield or Final Destination that's only, and like people get a bit ranty if they don't have that kind of thing. And look, now Nintendo basically tried to introduce some items into the main scene. It seems to be a bit of a some people happy, some people aren't kind of thing. But I think the items they have included don't necessarily change the game too much, though. So it's not like Final Smash Ball is always going to be the one that's going to be like that's a bit too OP for anything. You can't keep it balanced when those things are included. But.
It's been an interesting one, but I know they're trying to push the whole. I think Nintendo are trying to push esports.
Well, they've tried with like Splatoon and. So I've got Arms, they did a small tournament before, but I don't think that's really picked up as much as they wanted it to. But yeah, they definitely tried to push it with things like Mario Kart 8 and Deluxe and things like that before as well. And it's they have a scene for most of those games, but they just don't seem to be esports has such kind of scene. I don't know if it's
the best way to sort of describe it. I think they're definitely trying to expand it a bit.
But, I mean, I think Splatoon is probably the best like 4v4. Like game on the Switch definitely, but I argue it could be one of the better ones this generation for actually like for having a multiplayer sort of versus sort of game kind of thing. But I think Smash is just so divided from different people. There's like the casual players who don't care what happens, and then there's the real competitive players that just only like playing one sort of game mode, and it's kind of distanced the whole Smash community for me personally because of that. I get really frustrated with really pro players sometimes, and I'm useless as Smash. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I've really enjoyed the game. The whole like World of Light spirits sort of thing. I really enjoyed that. I thought it's just the way they've made each level a design on a character from a previous game, and the way they've used the characters to sort of use to make those levels has been excellent, I think.
But yeah, there's been some really interesting applications on the way they've put in, you know, the rule changes and stuff for each area. It's been good. I did enjoy it a lot. I've not played it in a while, to be honest, but
I unlocked all the characters and then I've not played it since.
That was
I think that's
it,
the problem.
Yeah.
There's not a lot else to it. I think there's unlocking all the trophies or whatever you want to call them now, spirits, you know, on classic modes and things like that. But I think they've like removed some of the stadium stuff, like they hitting the big
there was a few upsetting bits, and so they removed some of the collectibles. So I think they removed, if I remember right,
the trophy listings they've removed, which I can understand because if you think about it, they've had what a few thousand trophies in the game now, and they've got to basically do that in English for every single one, then Japanese, German, French, all different languages and translations. But that takes time to do, and I think if they get rid of all that, that's saving time so they could push it out the time they did, kind of thing. It didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of production time on this Smash Bros. Compared to the others. But.
Okay. I mean, I think the biggest disappointment I've had was the DLC characters they've unveiled so far. I've really not been fussed about. There's not a single
Joker from Persona. I'm not a fan.
Honestly,
I've never played Persona. To be fair, Matt's got quite a big one into Persona and that sort of game. But he looks an interesting character. Anyway, I think it's something you could definitely develop into the game. But I get what you mean. At the same time, it's just like there could be hundreds of other characters in front of him. I think you could probably choose.
Yeah, like when they announced Cloud back.
Well, Cloud was always a funny one because he never actually appeared on a Nintendo console.
That's why it was so good.
Until very soon, when Final Fantasy VII's coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
Which I'm super excited about, even though I've played it like a million times.
You've even got it on your laptop that records.
It's still on there. I'm still halfway through a series. When I say halfway through, I'm like, I've got nowhere near out of Midgar, so I'm still Midgar. I've had so many problems trying to record that game. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's desynced and all sorts of things. But still, I'm super excited for most of the Final Fantasy games that are coming to the Switch. We've got like Final Fantasy X, 7, I think 8's the one that's been not included, and people are getting annoyed about it. So it's one of those
things. 10 would be good. I've not played 10 in a long time.
10, so 10 and 10 2 are both on coming to Switch.
10 2 I'm not fussed about.
Like, yeah, a lot of people say that.
Fire, but but yeah, no, I've played 7 to death, so...
I believe Zodiac Age, which is 12, is on the Switch now, or coming very soon.
Okay, I quite like 12, actually. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed 12, in fact.
Because it's not like the tradition... Well, not like the other Final Fantasy games in a way, because that's more... It's more like the like online sort of... is it 14 for Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, I think 14.
It's very similar to that one, I think, in a way, 12 and 14. I think the way it's sort of the battle mechanics work kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm getting my numbers mixed up.
Maybe.
But I know 12 was the one where you had like the circles and you aimed the circle and then ran into it, didn't you?
Maybe. Maybe I'm getting confused. I'll be honest, the only ones I've actually played full all the way through is 7 and 13. The 13 was the weirdest.
Which one was 13?
Like lightning and snow and like guys at lightning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
So that game was always sort of, the story was all over the place completely. Like you couldn't follow it because there's Falsi, Lucy, the names are too similar and things were going all over the place and gods and... Yeah, it was very confusing. But the gameplay itself was interesting. The change in paradigms sort of worked well in that sort of battle mechanic. And I think something that, like, in 11, it's not quite, like, you're not in that sort of battle section. You're literally in the open world attacking, if I remember. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong one, I don't know. But is it 11 or 12, one of those two?
Yeah, because they had an online one in that sort of time period as well that I played.
I think 14 was the one that was the online one, as far as I'm aware. But because they pushed that heavily at first, and it completely flopped. But then they re-released it again, like, a year or two later. And again, it seemed to be a lot improved, so... People like that kind of thing. I'll just talk for a few games I've been playing over sort of January sort of period. I've been playing Starlink, which is the game with Star Fox in.
Okay.
Basically, it's the only reason I bought it, because I got the Air Wing with it, and I did a little video Christmas Eve on my channel about it. And the model itself is just brilliant. I'd love that. I always wanted to get like an Air Wing model, and every time I'd look to online for one, they would be £120, £150 plus, you know.
Yeah.
To get this game for like, I think I paid £40 for it, which was just before Christmas, I think it's like maybe like end of November.
Okay.
Annoyingly.
It went down quite cheap, didn't it?
Annoyingly, it went down to £20 before Christmas, and I believe the cheapest I saw it for was Kex at it for £15 at one point. And I was like, I paid £40
I think
for this.
It was you that I saw complaining about it. Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I'll go pick that up then.
To be fair, it's for a space explorer game, it's very similar in a way to I can't remember the game's called.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, exactly, that's the one I was thinking of, yeah. It's very similar to No Man's Sky, but it's got that sort of charm to it that there's like interactions with like pilots and other like buildings and people within buildings, and there's lots of little missions you've got to do to enhance the place, the planets you're on, and things like that. It's a very interesting game. It's not a Star Fox game. It's not a It's not a fighter game. It's more of a resource collector. Occasional, there's a thing floating around on the ground. Just shoot it, kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's very fun. I've really enjoyed what I've played of it. There's a total of like 12 planets to explore, and every planet has got a different climate change and different things to it. But no, the fact that it's got the story with Star Fox basically just bolted on as an extra.
Yeah.
But they've done it so well that it seems like you wouldn't know it's just an extra kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, if you play the normal game on PS4 or Xbox, you get the normal story, everything's played through, all videos are the same. On the Switch version, like the Star Fox crew are in every video
included
in those story modes. They're not necessarily related to the actual main story themselves, but they are there in the background saying, oh, we're help, you know, things like that. So it's cool the way they've done it. I like the way it's took to develop the stuff. So it's a very cool game. And if you can get it for like £20 or less, I'd absolutely recommend it. If you can get it for £30, I'd say buy it, to be honest. It's a really worth the money. It's a bit weird getting used to taking weapons off and putting weapons on a thing that's on your controller, but yeah, it's a pretty cool game.
I'll probably lose all the bits because I have two children.
You have two children and they'll be gone in seconds, absolutely. I think that's the one thing I did like about it though, you can actually take the wings off as well. So if you buy extra ships, you can literally take one wing from one ship and put that on with the ship you got. Which is cool for like kids and stuff.
Just
ping them together like building Legos. Sort of
thing. So I quite like the toy type stuff. I find it quite an interesting concept.
Because I read about it, I didn't realise you can actually put the wings on backwards.
Right.
And I was reading about it. They accidentally did it when they were developing it.
Okay.
And then they realised that's actually a really good idea. You can shoot backwards with it. And kids might do that anyway.
Why not?
Now you can basically just keep flying around and shoot behind you, so you don't have to do anything. So, really excellent game and really do recommend it. Right, there's one other game I wanted to mention, I can't remember what it was. Oh, of course, Wii U. I played my Wii U and I'd set up again this month, basically. I wanted to go back to Wind Waker because I'd never actually finished it on the Wii U. I finished it before on GameCube and stuff, and that was probably one of my favourite games on the GameCube, absolutely. But that's in the top five maybe of all time my games I've played. But it was so weird playing it on the Wii U after all that time of not playing it before and things like that. It's like a good like 10-12 years distance between it, something like that. So I think I was trying my best to finish that game before Breath of the Wild came out.
Yep, fair.
And then Breath of the Wild came out and then I didn't play anything for like other than that for like a good 3-4 months and that sort of took over kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was just nice to go back to play Wind Waker again and sort of catch up where I was in the story and things like that. But, you know, it's just one of those to go back to. And then I realised, on my Wii U, I've got loads of games downloaded as well. So I was like, Advance Wars.
Oh, beautiful.
One of my favourite games of all time. I always say this is one of the most highest rated Nintendo games that's ever been, is Advance Wars 1.
Yeah.
And like, everyone keeps saying, oh, Fire Emblem's been rated. No, it hasn't. But no Fire Emblem game has ever been rated higher than Advance Wars. Take that, Fire Emblem fans. But I was playing that because there's a new game coming out very soon for Nintendo Switch, which I can't remember what it's called now. Wargroove.
Yes, just pulled it up. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yes. Wargroove is basically the successor, in a way, to Advance Wars. There's no one related to it making it or anything, but it's from the people, Chucklefish Games, who made Stardew Valley.
Okay.
Or somewhere involved in Stardew Valley. I don't know, publishers or things like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, they're producing this game, and from what I played at EGX last year, it was fantastic. Yeah. It's literally a spot-on replica of Advance Wars. They weren't exactly the same
sprites
and characters,
yeah,
but they were the spiritual same
kind of thing. Kind of similar, yeah, sure.
And of course, the best thing out of this Wargroove game of all things is there's a commander who is a dog. And he controls dogs as his soldiers. And I'm like, hell yeah. But that's actually coming out 1st of February, which isn't very far away. Next week, I believe. So
that's next Friday. Yeah, my son has a disco on that day.
That is my next Switch game.
I didn't know it was that on Switch, because I was going to pre-order it on PC, but I might get it on Switch.
I found out today it's also got crossplay.
Has it?
So you can play with anyone on Steam, Xbox, PS4 and Switch.
Gosh, that's
good. The thing with this, multiplayer, you can play in multiple modes as well. It's very similar to like Civ 6 and Civ 5.
Okay.
So you can play all in the same sort of room at the same time, so all on the internet.
Yeah.
Or you can do it in turn based. So you play your turn,
send it over
to your friend, he plays his turn, and vice versa. For cross play, that will be brilliant.
Yeah,
that will
definitely work
really well, I think, especially with PC players and
things like that. Yeah, that's good.
But, it's just keeping people interested and making sure they go back to that game every time they say, it's your turn to go play it.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing. But with the power of social media now, you can just keep sending pokes to your friend to say, sort it out, man.
Jack's been just been waiting for about 2 months for me to open my gift on Pokemon Go, so
yes,
he can become best friend with me.
This is true.
But I refuse to open it because I want to time it with a lucky egg with one of my other friends.
We've waited 2 months so far, and I'm still waiting. So,
And then I'm not even going to tell him when I open it, so we'll become best friends, and I'll have my lucky egg, and
I won't have mine. It's gonna be and beautiful. I'm literally 200,000 away from the next level, so it's good. Damn it. Ha! Thanks for that. Dude. Cool. We'll call that for what games have been playing. I don't know if there's anything else we really want to talk about this other than
that. I don't want to roll with. There's a good game that came out recently called My Time in Portia.
Okay.
Portia. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Portia.
No idea. But basically it's kind of like Harvest Moon.
Yes, okay.
But there's also a big mining area that, you know, you can find a rare resource and this kind of stuff. But It's interesting. It's worth having a nosy at if you're kind of into that
sort
of stuff. Just worth a shout. I haven't played it in ages.
Like Harvest Moon, Stardew Valley sort of.
Yeah. So like, obviously, I played it in like early access, and it was really good. And I know they launched a full game earlier this month, and it's worth checking out definitely.
Okay, cool. Let me check that out. Okay, so we'll go into the next section, which I don't know what it is yet.
Switch.
Okay, so very, very brief news section this week. Mainly just want to talk about the Metroid 4 cancellation of all things, and then remade, kind of restarting,
yeah.
Which is a very strange situation. I've never really experienced that as a Nintendo, sort of, as a company. I've never known them to do that.
I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, definitely.
Not publicly, anyway. I don't think they've ever publicly said, look, we're not happy with the quality of this game, so we're going to say, no, we're going to cancel that and restart it. So it's great marketing in a way, because they're saying, look, you're not going to see Metroid 4 for the next year or so in directs or in E3 and things like that. And it also tries to say, look, we still work on this game. Don't worry about it. We're still doing it. But at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's better to scrap it and redo it if it's going to be terrible than disappoint your fans.
Yeah, that's good. Definitely true.
It's just, obviously, people are going to be angry.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite disappointed when I first heard the news, but when you watch the video through and sort of think about it, it's not such a bad idea. I mean, Metroid Prime, the whole series altogether, it never really sold very well, and the games it had on the GameCube and the Wii as well. I think that's maybe why they tried to re-release it and try and get a few more people playing it. But there is some really dedicated fans to the Metroid series in general, who are obviously going to be disappointed that it's not coming anytime soon, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's not going to be another Metroid game before that, because I think it could be another 2D game or some other sort of spin-off kind of thing. We've got Samus in Smash Bros, I guess that counts, and Ridley as well, so
that's a push, isn't it?
It's a push at most, but you know, it's disappointing to see one game removed from this year, which a lot of people were really excited about.
Yeah.
But this year's still got a few other interesting games that come from Nintendo, and this, I think the Pokemon main series, as they're calling it now, rather than the spin-off game, is supposed to be coming out at the end of this year.
Okay.
Whether it will or not, we don't know yet. We don't have no details. We had no direct this month so far. There's no announcements for a direct so far, which is really, really frustrating. We had a few like indie games which were mentioned, which I've not even seen the video for yet, so I can't really talk about that.
It wasn't a direct, was it? They had a little
Nindies sort of section, you normally call it. I don't know if they called it that this time, which is a brilliant idea and for a name, but
it's good to push indies. I think giving them their own space. The problem is that, obviously, like you say, some people don't watch them. So if they're tapped onto a direct, people are kind of already there, so they'll watch it, whereas they might not.
If you don't watch it, you might miss something that you might be really interested in, invested in, and that's half the problem, like with missing directs kind of thing. You might just miss lots of information, and then you won't hear anything else about that for the next couple of months, you know, until it's near release date kind of thing. I mean, Nintendo normally put like one sort of post out every now and then, say, oh, this game's still coming, but then you might not see it for another week or so.
Yeah.
But then it comes up to the 2 weeks before it's supposed to be released, and all of a sudden there's just everything everywhere about this game.
I've got to find money.
Oh, no money. But yeah, cool. So that was like a very brief sort of talk about Metroid. Were you sort of excited for Metroid Prime 4? Is it a series you've played before?
So I dropped off Metroid. I played like the original way back way, not when it first came out, but like, you know, I picked it basically because it was a retro game and I emulated it. Such as knows, emulated it. you know, I'd played it on kind of throwbacks, because it came out before I was born, so you know.
It is, I believe it's still available on Wii U for the, you get the pack for 1 to 3.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether you had to be on the Wii system itself to play it, kind of thing. There was a bit of a funny thing with that. Because you had to use the Wii remote to play the game anyway.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's one of those, like, I think Super Mario Galaxy 2 was another example. You could buy it on the Wii U, but it actually moved into the Wii section or something like that.
Oh, okay.
There's a bit of a weird thing with that.
Okay. But I played the GameCube one, the first one, Metroid Prime, I think it was. Which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I played the first one on GameCube, and then I played the second one and the third one on the Wii.
Okay.
And I'm not really massive into the old movement controls with on the Wii, but that game played it really well. I thought you could like move it around, like you literally were moving the helmet and things like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
One that I did miss, actually, I was really excited for, and it kind of flew under my radar, was, what's it called, Travis Touchdown?
Yes.
No More Heroes.
No More Heroes, yeah.
That's just
come out recently.
So like I absolutely loved it when it first came out, and
I've not seen much of it, but I must admit
I don't know why I haven't picked it. I might even go buy it later, to be honest.
I don't think there's even a game I played at EGX, because they had one booth and it was always busy the whole time.
I loved it when it came out, and it just totally fell on my radar. I think it's because I'm kind of stuck for Kingdom Hearts 3, so I've not really dedicated much time to looking at other stuff.
But that makes sense. I've been on the same sort of boat, to be honest. I think Kingdom Hearts 3 has been the game I've definitely wanted to play this month, and I've tried to save a bit of money for that at the end of the month.
It's like
being January and all that.
Yeah, like I wanted Resident Evil 2 remastered as well, but like I know that I won't have time to play it. So I'm like, well, frustrating, but you know.
One of those. I think the news articles, there's really not much else I can sort of talk about at the moment for Nintendo wise. So I think we'll just leave that as that short section and we'll move into the next one. So we're going to this section, which is just going to be a sort of a random talking to Patrick about events and things, really, because we organise events together, quite a few events now.
It's been a few. Four or five events, I think. Big events like Game Fest ones. So me and Jack basically have run like four big events called Southampton Game Fest, and they kind of grow each year.
Yeah.
But we also run tournaments and competitions together. We've done all sorts. We usually do them at pubs. Because the idea is to kind of promote local businesses, so that's what we do with the Hampshire Gaming Hub. Yep. Jack's been extremely helpful at kind of promoting the online side of it.
Yep.
Social
media sort of section has always been my sort of... I've just enjoyed it, to be honest, of it, just trying to get people invested in things and just trying to come to events, I think, is the main thing. I think because I've had the experience doing it with Street Pass Southampton previously, and then going into Hampshire Gaming Hub and... Well, our previous events as well, in the very early days of Southampton Game Fest, it's worked really well so far, I think.
Yeah, we had a beautiful one year. We had, so I went to an event called Game City.
Yep.
Mingled Bear, this place in Nottingham. Nottingham is where Robin Hood is from, as a fun fact. it might pop up on a game show or something, you never know.
Yeah.
So while I was mingling that, I chatted to a student who, directed me to his blog, and one of the things he made for a game jam one year was this like VR experience where you were in a coffin and your friend had to like guide you out. It was a really weird idea, but when he did it, he could only get like some cardboard, and we invited him down, paid for his train ticket, and we managed to source a coffin from like the local funeral parlor.
Couple places.
Yeah, it was the most bizarre thing ever. And I was emailing places like, I can put like flyers in it. And obviously the response to that was, well, we don't often flyer for funerals.
Yeah.
It's not. But that was an interesting experience. That was our first kind of event that we did. Yeah. I think getting a coffin.
The first event, I was always a little bit like skeptical about what was going to happen, kind of thing, and because I was still sort of part of Street Bar Southampton officially, we just come in as event support, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We were running like Mario Kart tournament, and I think James actually come down, didn't he, as well, from Nintendo as
so we had a proper Nintendo rep down who I've never managed to get to come down again, but
no. But yeah, I think they bring Monster Hunter as well, which wasn't as popular, unfortunately, for 3DS. But I think a few people played it. But
yeah, not too much, but I think I'm a Monster Hunter.
I've, because it recently came out, Generations recently came out on the Switch, but I say recently, about 6 months ago. Probably. But it's one of those I had on the 3DS anyway, and you could transfer all that data over to the Switch version.
Really?
And I think that helped a little bit for me to get back into it. But if you've not played Monster Hunter World, though, that game's fantastic. I think that's probably my game of last year, to be fair. But that's not events. But yeah, the same. The first event was really like an interesting sort of idea, and because we've only done, we had one really big event with Street Bus Southampton was when Mario Kart 8 first came out.
Okay.
And we had the Orange Rooms in Southampton, which was it's a big bar with we had two or three different rooms in different sections, so we could have different people in different areas.
Yeah.
And we from that event we met other people who were interested in helping us out with Street Bar Southampton and promoting the place, and just from there we've had loads of little events from there. And
yeah.
We just unfortunately Street Bar Southampton sort of fizzled out from there kind of thing because different people moved away and things happened and things changes happened. Unfortunately, I've never officially closed the group. I'm never going to until I've literally give in with it.
Yeah.
But I hope to one day revive it.
We should do something. We should do another revival.
I would like to. One of my friends recently contacted us to try and get a Smash group together, which when you're a casual Smash player isn't the best thing of it. But I'm sure I can help them out with it and go from there and maybe use the Street Pass. Southampton. So the first event was fairly successful, I think, when we first did it.
Yeah, really, so there was like $5 on each, putting like £30 or something to...
Yeah, £34
down. Yeah, and you know, we didn't really have proper event experience. I basically did it just for funsies.
I think between us all, we all had bits and pieces that we knew and did kind of thing.
Yeah.
We just wanted to gain more experience from it.
Yeah.
Something else to write on CV and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, when you go into a job and you can showcase photos and say, I
did this,
helped with this event, they go, oh, okay, that's quite impressive.
Mm.
So yeah, it's good.
Of course, Neil and Tom both did very well out of it and got further in their careers from it.
So there's this guy called Tom. And
Tom Dev.
Tom Dev, I'll just call him out. He's applied for two jobs that I've applied for and got both of them.
Yeah.
And I've... Through my teeth said, well done Tom, I'm so happy for you.
I like Tom.
Yeah, we love Tom.
Yeah.
But also damn you Tom.
I'll make sure I tag him in this.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, so he works for Media Molecule now, super happy for him, but super hate him. And prior to that he worked for Game at their headquarters doing the jobs I wanted to do there, but you know, happy for him, and he is good at his job.
And Neil, of course, is working for Insomnia, which is Games Events Group, basically.
So they run massive.
He's pretty much running the whole show at the moment, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's good. So it's quite interesting to see how well everyone's done from it. And I like to think that we've helped with that to an extent.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of it's going to be off their own bat, you know. But it's got surely it looked good on their CV to be able to,
or
in interviews to say, you know, we did this event as well. Mm. You know, here's a picture of a coffin.
I think we need to definitely promote ourselves a bit more, Patrick, on that sort of stuff. But, we'll see. So at that first event, we all sort of gained knowledge about it. We had some issues, and certainly with food, this kind of thing, the food van.
So we booked this food van. And it turns out we weren't allowed a food van. But you know, I mean, mistakes happen. I mean, even last year, I accidentally double booked tables.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, we did. We suddenly had an extra 50 tables to turn up out of the van. We don't want these. So.
That was a bit difficult because, you know, I emailed them on the phone and said, can you let me know? I'm not going to say which company it was because that'd be unfair, but you know, it was a miscommunication on our side and their side. They thought we needed them. I'd booked someone else because they weren't telling me when they were coming, so I was panicking. It was just a bit of a frustration.
Yeah. But you learn from those mistakes, and like maybe you
did
won't
it
do
again.
That next. You did it again. but we also know what to expect from companies like that, though. Like if we ask for tables or like some sort of electrical devices and things like that, you know, we need to be patient with things like that. And when you do events like that, you've got to make sure you do have the right amount of tables, the right amount of equipment, you've got everything.
Yeah, a lot goes into it. So this is the thing, is that when we first kind of did it, I was suddenly quite awestruck by how much effort it actually takes, because we had unsellable tables from IKEA that someone had brought down for us as a favour.
Yes, Sam did bring
them down. Yeah.
Previous host of the podcast was Sam. He's still working at IKEA, I believe, and he literally bought some tables for us, then had to return them and get the refund back for the tables.
Funny. We were carrying like 8 tables down the road.
But when we didn't really have a budget as such, we just took whatever we had.
Honestly, I hope it doesn't get fired. I hope no one sends us to his boss. but it was just one of them where you kind of don't realise all the little ins and outs that suddenly appear. Mm. I'm like, I don't think of this. And pack testing and this kind of stuff.
Because we were going to go for the Guildhall straight after that event, was that the... And we put money in for a deposit and then just thought, maybe this is a bit too big for us, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and things change, of course, and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's one of those, you've really got to try and like gauge who your audience is first and go from there, kind of thing. Because if you think you can fill a building with 4,000 people, good luck to you, kind of thing.
Yeah, we just kind of ran before we could walk, but we took the hit. It was a bit.
I think it was more like an adrenaline sort of rush kind of thing at the time.
Yeah, it just went so well that we were like, we'll do it again, and then we're like,
let's get something bigger.
Yeah,
and then the event after that, you got the hotel, didn't you?
So we had the place called the Grand Harbour Hotel in Southampton. Mm. It's got like a glass pyramid outside. It was really luxurious, looked really nice.
It's a lovely hotel overall.
It did get kind of so. it's right next to the pier and it looked beautiful. However, there was also a cruise ship that came in and just totally eclipsed the whole reception area. It was so funny because it must have been like 1 o'clock when the sun was perfect and it just got totally showered and then it just rained.
Yeah,
and it was so funny.
I think in a way that sort of helped a little bit because people didn't necessarily leave because when they're in there kind of thing. You're in now, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. It's raining. So
it's been a good run with those events. I've enjoyed doing it. It's kind of, there's a lot of headaches, but then when it all comes together, and I'm sure you feel the same, you're so proud of it. And you know,
absolutely.
There's always stuff that goes wrong on the day, but at the end of the day, it's like, I think I've only had like one complaint.
Yeah.
And you know, we dealt with that really well.
Yeah. I think all the feedback I've ever received has always been positive. There might be a few things like, this tournament did quite well, so well, but I understand why it didn't.
Yeah, constructive feedback is always helpful. And we always.
I've always struggled with running tournaments myself anyway, and I'd admit that kind of thing. But overall, getting enough people into a venue to try and kind of just enjoy some games and play games with each other, you know, just have a bit of fun. I think it's worked really well. And,
yeah.
You know, we've raised a bit of money for charity on the way and things like that.
So it's always for charity. We give indie developers free areas to showcase their game as well. And because we kind of really big about helping our local developers get their game out there. So we had one guy, Nick Gregory, so he showcased with us Game Fest and Westkey Comic Con, and then went on to EGX and Penny Arcade Expo, so PAX, and his game's like really taken off.
Eagle Island. I'm looking forward to that game being released.
If you haven't seen it, go look at it.
I've played a few of the demo versions over the last 2 years, I think, at the game dev events, and also I played it at EGX. So playing the different versions over the years, you can see how quickly that developed and how well it's been polished and things like
that. He's worked really hard on it, bless him. It's really nice to see developers who might not, you know, they don't get the opportunity to showcase much because places do charge a lot, and then we give them a free space.
That game is going to do very well, I think, personally. I think just because the way it's developed, it's like a Metroidvania, but with an owl you use as a weapon kind of thing. I mean, that's the biggest selling point of that game, you know. It's so different to what I've seen of other games recently.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really nice game. It's good to see games build up.
Local people doing well out of it, and we've got some excellent friends from doing
events. Yeah, we've made friends for life, definitely. It's just nice to see that someone's game, that even we've had like uni students and they've you know, seen me around the university and recognised me. And
I know you from that thing.
And it's nice. And
I've,
you know,
I've had it a few times online and stuff. I've been trying to sort of build from what we've got on the Facebook and Twitter. So, well, Twitter's very slow at the moment, but it's getting there. It's getting there. But yeah, it's just nice that you get the interaction. Because we do the game dev events, a lot of the people just sort of, oh, I live locally, I can't pop down for a beer and a few games. The guy who's making all the Pico 8 sort of games, it's really weird to describe it because you've not played them. But he's got a real low res game he's making, and it's basically you're on one screen. And you've got to either shoot a guy or duck, or well, you've got snakes attacking at the same time. But it sounds really weird, but it's a really weird, excellent game. And I will try and find the link to it, because you can play it on a website now.
Okay.
You can literally just pick it up, play it with Xbox controller or whatever you plug into your laptop. And it's the weirdest thing I think I've ever played. In fact, it's from some previous game before, and I don't know what it is or anything. I have no idea, but it was really fun. So I will link that so you can give it a go as well. Cool. So if you had to give advice to anyone who wanted to do a small event now, what would you say to them, kind of thing? What would you advise?
So first step, find a game that you know you can set up easy. So I did an Injustice 2 tournament, it's quite a while ago. I was going to say not so long ago, but it was quite a while ago.
Yeah, that's about a while ago now.
but that was probably the easiest one to set up. So literally just find a pub that you like. Usually helps us in a student area or something. Yeah. You know, there's a condensation of gamers. Condensation?
Yes, the window there. Yeah.
Well, there's a group of gamers.
A group of gamers.
So find somewhere local to you where there's a group of gamers. Find a game that's really easy to set up. So literally, you know, a fighting game like Injustice 2 works really easily.
Yeah.
If you have a friend, it usually helps because they'll have a TV and a spare controller. and literally, you can download tournament apps on your phone, and you can set up ladders really easily.
Yeah.
But you know, to be honest, even if you just set up a Facebook page, not even a page, just an event, ring up your local pub, they'll be happy for the business. Yeah. You can convince them sometimes to do like special drinks or just rename drinks. That usually goes down quite well. Mm. It's just kind of what I'd say is get a list together, think about anything you might have like forgot to think about. So, you know, make sure if the pub doesn't have a TV that you can get your own TV down there.
I think that's been my sort of hardest difficulty. Where I'm not driving as well, and that's something I need to do this year. Getting equipment to set venues has always been quite difficult for me. But it's like, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to take these big TVs with you. You know, you can just get like a small TV to take with you and just play that in a corner somewhere in the pub.
Yeah.
Or 3DSs, Switches, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big PS4 or something.
No, exactly. Like, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility, so you just run how you want to run. And as well, if you set up like an event page on Facebook and someone says, oh, could you put this on? Then, you know, do, and they'll be happy.
I think the only sort of advice I can give is just watch your budget, kind of thing. Because if you like, if you go too heavy too fast, and you could end up spending lots of money on a venue that is big enough, but you might not necessarily get the numbers you want. Just be careful with what you're doing with the budgets and things, and make sure you have got the money to spend if you are going to do this event, kind of thing. Don't just go in with thinking, oh, I'm going to make loads of money out of this.
They're very expected to make money, but would be probably the best piece of advice. Yeah. I mean, it depends, like what you want to gain out of it. So basically, when I first started doing events in Southampton, it was because Konami asked me to run a Metal Gear Rising event as part of one of the promotional things, and I just ran it through locally at Game.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think that's how I met you.
Believe it was one of the in-house events at Game that actually did meet you.
Yeah.
I can't remember what game it was.
But like, you know, if you just, because I moved to Japan basically, I wanted to make friends, so can I move, you know, I work can I mean, on that
like launches and things.
Yeah, and you know, if you just encourage businesses to embrace gaming as a way that they can drive up their business, it doesn't necessarily have to be a game show, it can be a pub, and you can say, I'll supply the stuff. And
we've been quite lucky with that recently, the Shooting Star, for example, has been they like the games there anyway, and they do games nights themselves, but whenever we've asked to do something in there, they've been quite forward.
Yeah, they're really accommodating the Shooting Star. You'll find that most places are pretty accommodating because they want the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just gotta, if you go for a pub, avoid obvious nights, like avoid football nights, avoid Friday nights, and then we're fine.
And of course, if you have got younger kids coming in and things like that, make sure the pubs let the younger kids in. It sounds stupid.
But yeah, so this is what I mean by oversight. Yeah. Like, if you do your own cocktails, you need to make sure you've got menus printed. Or the pub will do it, but you need to ask them.
Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff. Making sure you've got a table to put the telly on, for example, is always an interesting one. But yeah, you know, talk to pubs as well, because they run events. If you run it at a pub, they run events. So
they'll find time for you if you're willing to.
Because they want the business, you want to make, you know, meet people, make business, whatever, then
Cool. Excellent. So the last event we had for Southampton Game Fest was ran very well, I believe. So, we've had, what, a good 200 people in the end, sort of turn up, I think it was.
It's more than that, yeah.
Yeah, 200 plus. So, what was different with this event compared to previous events?
So our last one was ran in like a nightclub. This one we pushed for, basically people said that they didn't feel it was very family friendly, so this time we pushed for
That's like you're given an objective from that kind of thing, and
yeah, it's always difficult because basically our events split people. We get people that really want a family friendly event, and we get people that want to be able to drink.
It's like the smash casuals and the smash professionals.
So we always try to make both happy. So what we did with this one was, we were quite fortunate. We found a community building. So it was a charity building. They do loads of really good community work. So we're like, good, what do you use them anyway? Because then it'll help charity. It's all done, sorted. Also on that street were several pubs. So we kind of managed to tick off boxes.
There's one pub we used.
Okay. So, here's the community building. On that street, there was another pub, the Shooting Star, which we used.
Yeah.
So that ticked both boxes for us. So the guys wanted to drink, go and chill out. They could play their retro games, because we found that, you know, we've got a lot of kind of data on people. We know the kind of how our consumers are split. We know that the older generation like a pint and a bit of retro. The younger generation like try different things, like the innovative new kind of things. So we had like
VR, for example.
Yeah, VR and the Leap Motion controller by Sobi Tech. Didn't make a controller, but he made a game for it.
Guy is so cool. Honestly, everything I see of him now on Facebook, he's like, he's doing game shows with like game hosts kind of things and stuff. Then he's buying consoles from North Korea and stuff. And it's like, I've seen pictures of his front room, and it's just covered in consoles and boxes and things. And stuff.
Yeah, he's living very much the video game bachelor life.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
What's his name? Sobi. I'm sure Jack will post a link or something.
Yeah.
Good. I forgot what his game's called, but yeah. but it was an interesting game. You flew like a cat
through space, and it's all controlled with your hand.
In mid-air
kind of thing. There's no controller attached.
Yeah, so it's called the Leap Motion controller. Superhot came out for it as well, but I don't think it integrated very well, whereas Sobi's game was made perfectly for it. So we split the event into two places, and that kind of worked really well. They were a bit further than we wanted, but you know, we were working what we had. And this has been a constant problem for us, is find somewhere that's family friendly.
Venue wise, to keep everyone happy has always been difficult.
Yeah, because it's either like, even this year we like hit our capacity for the amount of people we're allowed in there. Last year, same problem, we had the fire marshal come down. And it's good in a way, because it's like, oh, our event's doing really well, you know, we're getting all the crowd in, but at the same time, it's like, it's very cramped.
Yeah, cramped. There's a lot of tables and lots of people around them, but then
And it's a constant problem for us, because we're not big enough to go for somewhere like the Guildhall in Southampton.
Because we've had different shops and things as well, and people selling their art and stuff like that as well, and keeping them happy and keeping the people showing off the games happy and stuff as well, and giving them the right space. I think this year it worked a little bit better, but I think at the same time, being so different areas, it didn't necessarily work. Like, some of the shops said, oh, we didn't get much business, and then the gamers just said, oh, we had loads of people up here.
So the venue, just to give you an idea, was like 4 or 5 floors.
Yeah.
And it was literally, we were rejigging people on the day, because we had like like last minute cancellations, yeah. doing that morning cancelling. So we were moving people up and down the venue, and I was quickly scribbling, literally yeah. handwriting signs on the bay with like Sharpie pens. but people, it worked quite well. So we had a very top floor. We had the green VR, what's it called? The
VR Cube.
That's the one, yeah. So they had like a green screen up. That kind of puts you in the whole different world.
Where were they based? Do you remember?
It was like Ringwood or something. So it was in Hampshire.
I will share a link anyway.
Yeah. or Lyndhurst. But they're like, they kind of, their USP is a kind of like a mobile VR thing. So yeah. they bring
it. It was excellent setup for them. And I've seen them at future events since then. They've been promoting on Facebook and stuff. And they've done really well out of it.
It's a good concept. But then the bottom of the venue, we had another VR setup from some students, and they loved it. They bought 2 Vive headsets from their university, and we had the problem of we needed to set up like a barrier.
Yeah.
And they ended up bringing a bed sheet down.
Yeah, to use it, for it. It worked really well. Actually.
Yeah. But that was quite hilarious.
Everyone who played that, they said they really enjoyed it. For me,
it's good. Yeah.
Would like to do more VR stuff, and I'm like, okay, that's good feedback. So yeah. VR is kind of difficult, like you said, trying to get the right space for it and the right yeah. area and things. But I think VR Cube are excellent. I think they're really worth checking out, kind of thing, if you get a chance. They've got their own sort of area. You can do parties and things and organise events there. But they also do mobile stuff, so they can come to you, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing is that you need a lot of space. Yes. But they'll tell you how much space they need. Yes. They'll come check the space for you and make sure that, you know, they're really nice guys as well. They even stayed behind and helped us like flat pack tables.
Oh, yeah. there was a lot of tables that had to move up and down the stairs and lifts and things. And the lift only had so much weight in it.
Yeah, it was so funny. Yeah. So yeah, this is the kind of thing that trips you up. We had to calculate the weight on the tables that were allowed in the lift to make sure it didn't break. And poor Jack. Yeah. What Jack doesn't say is that I was running up and down the stairs with tables, but you know,
whatever. So was I.
But yeah, no, so it's grown every year. We've drawn more people in every year. You know, it's gone up from like...
Oh, we're up to nearly 1,000 on the Facebook page, the main Facebook page, but we've also got like a group page with another 200 people on it or so. We've got a Twitter page with another 200-300 people on there. Yeah. So we've got people in different sections, and I started to build a Discord page. I've not really done a lot with it, to be fair. But that's another area you could use to set up communities and things. I know there's lots of online communities that do tournaments and daily different things. Nintendo Players Basingstoke is a great example of that. They do different days of the week. They'll do different games. So, for instance, they do Mario Kart 8 on Mondays, and then Thursdays they leave for a random game, whatever they want to choose.
Kind of thing. So, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. But if you get the right community and the right people coming back every now and then to different days, it can be quite a good community sort of thing to sort of build from, and you can provide events from that kind of thing. So, but it doesn't necessarily need to be in a pub, in a venue like that. You can do it online and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, definitely. So if you don't want to use a pub, then other places are usually good at like community venues. Mm. I don't know, because I'm English, so I don't know what the American places are like, basically.
I thought there'd be some places kind of similar and you could do events in, but maybe it's a little bit different laws-wise and stuff, I don't know.
But try and help out your local community by using community-based areas, yeah.
So, for the future, what is the future, Patrick? There's some teasers that have been floating out on social media.
Yeah, so what I'll say is keep an eye on Portsmouth. Venue-wise, we're not going to be cramped this year.
Cool.
Let's put it that way.
Excellent. Southampton? Are we going to have anything in Southampton? Are we not sure yet? Have we decided?
Currently, plan is lots of small events in Southampton.
Okay.
Big event in Portsmouth.
Excellent. Cool. Just do some final shout outs. So, Patrick, do you have a Twitter handle or Facebook?
Twitter handle is @custardtrout.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it.
Check out VG Charts as well.
VG Charts, anywhere else you write for? Say a few at the start.
So they're
previous ones.
Do check out VG Charts. I write news for them at the minute. I'm meant to be doing a review for the Lego Movie 2 in the next couple weeks. And as well, I'm due my Xeno Crisis preview and interview is meant to go up there soon.
Do you want to talk about the Gaming Hub social media?
Yeah, probably should, yeah. So, yeah, please do look at the Hampshire Gaming Hub, particularly if you're local, anywhere in England even, because both me and Jack put a lot of work into it,
yeah.
And particularly for this next event in Portsmouth, we're putting an awful lot of effort in. We've teamed up with some really heavy hitters for this, so, yeah. You know, even if you don't necessarily live locally, please do keep an eye out on our Facebook page.
There's plenty of hotels down there, so come visit us, you know.
I don't want to promise anything, but we are pushing for some heavy hitting guests.
Okay.
Whether that materializes or not, because Jack will attest to every year me emailing Nintendo and saying, send me my motto.
Well, it's, what's the older chat name who did Black and White and stuff like that?
Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux, we've tried every year. And every year it's like,
I have got Peter Molyneux's email. Peter Molyneux, one year, a different event, promised that, said, oh yes, email me. Here's my email, so I still have his email. And he was like, I'll definitely come down, because he in fact studied at Southampton University. I think he's guest lectured there and everything, so he seemed really into it. And I said, you know, we work with the Southampton Universities, but sadly, yet to materialise. Maybe one year.
One year. When we like get to like a 10th year, we might just turn up. And just
We had the fellow from Gadget Show.
Yes, we did, yes.
Yeah. There's a beautiful photo of me.
Jason?
Yes, Jason Bramberry. So Arcade Europe set that up for us. He came down and presented a trophy to one of our tournament winners, our Street Fighter tournament winner, which happened to be Mike Tucker, who also exhibited, which is super helpful, and didn't look at all like a fix. but there's a beautiful photo of me kind of looking extremely terrified, cuddling this famous dude called Jason Bramberry.
That's a cool sort of thing, though. We've done these events and got someone fairly famous, I suppose, in UK TV terms, and maybe in some international places, maybe, I don't know, but I know how far the Gadget Show goes these days, really. Okay, cool. So that's all that social media. If you go on to @npodcastsystem, that's the Twitter for our podcast, also on Facebook and other places as well, on social medias. We're on YouTube, and we're also on Podomatic, which is the host for all the podcasts. We also are on iTunes now, and also on Spotify, which is pretty cool. So I don't know how many people actually listen on Spotify. I can't get any results for that, which is really annoying. But hopefully we can find out soon. And I believe, don't quote me on this, don't, Alexa, if you say that, right, I did that last episode, and I said that, and I said, order a pizza, and I accidentally ordered the pizza and my Alexa at home, so I had to cancel that pretty quickly. So yeah, that was quite funny. But yeah, apparently you can listen there as well for podcasts. Cool. So that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool shout out. And Google Podcasts on Android and other places. There's lots of other different apps on Android, so you might be able to find us in the other section. There are some people that are saying there's another app they've been using and listened to us for like the last 4 years. I don't even know what it is. So,
cool.
So yeah, I'm like, okay. Well,
there's an app that I don't know that we are also on.
Yeah, so stuff like that. So yeah, it's cool. I'm @Gorney7789 on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. So if you want to contact me and talk about podcast and be on the podcast or be a guest, feel free to contact me and we can set stuff up. But other than that, I'd say thank you very much, Patrick, for
my pleasure. Thank you.
Making this not a solo podcast. And I'm sure we'll hear from you again soon.
Sure.
In the future.
Thank you.
And we'll leave you with some music if Patrick can think of anything on the cuff.
DDD.
We'll listen to some DDD. Okay, we'll do that then.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and happy gaming. Bye bye. We always do happy gaming.
Really need a wee.
Go on. Sorry, mate. You should have said.
I don't want to, like, we're in a flow.